The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 17 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Giving Back During the Holidays.
Hi, everyone. Making It Matter is a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julie and I both have cystic fibrosis, we're remaining compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast is made possible by Novartis, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the Digital Credit Union. So big thanks to them for continuing their efforts to keep our educational programs working at the Boomer Esiason Foundation. So today we're now really into December. Thanksgiving is in the rearview mirror. And we are going to talk about giving and making sure that there's enough support behind nonprofits and why you should give back to the CF community and really any other disease charity or nonprofit or charitable organization during the time of giving and holidays and all this fun, great stuff.
Yeah. I mean, think of all the progress we've made in CF, and that's really only driven by the people that support CF research.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it when you look at cystic fibrosis individually and the amount of progress that has come, it's really unlike any other disease state in the world. Cystic fibrosis is obviously a rare disease, so there's not very many people in the world that have CF. That's what a rare disease is. Only about 30,000 in the U.S. So to say that we've come so far in such a really a short period of time since the gene for CF was discovered in the late 80s, is really a remarkable thing.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable when you think about it.
It's unlike any other thing in the world. Maybe for the exception of HIV or some of the other larger name diseases or unfortunate causes that strive to get financial backing and resources. So
yeah, and those diseases and they're propelled forward in their progress because of how many are affected. So I think that that's just it's evident how much support the CF research has received because of the progress we've made for such a rare disease.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think rare disease is I don't want to say it's special because it's not. It's as worthy as any other cause out there, but cystic fibrosis and the fact that it is such a small patient population is definitely binds together the community at large. I think there's so few people in the world that have CF compared to the general worldwide population or the general American population at large. You know, how many people are in the United States? 330 million or something like that, and only 30,000 of those people have CF. And the number of people that know somebody with CF is so small. That in a lot of ways, awareness and talking about it and getting stories out there, inspiring other people with cystic fibrosis or talking to people who may not know a thing about CF is really just as valuable as monetary contributions in a lot of ways, because it drives the education. And I think it's such a unique thing. Well, it is a unique thing because so few people have it. It's an interesting thing that people want to learn about, and I very rarely talk to someone that, you know, has no idea what CF is, and very rarely does that person not want to know more. I think it's within human nature to always want to know more.
Yeah. Well, and I think what you just said too, like bringing it up and advocating when you can, I mean, it's a perfect example of why we do our Making It Matter feature, is because it is so important to kind of show the world what not only what CF is, but the fact that you can lead a full life in spite of it.
Yeah, I think there's also such a stigma attached to CF, or there has been for for quite a while, and now we're finally starting to break the stigma, and that's that it's a childhood disease. You know, we're finally seeing people with cystic fibrosis living longer. And as I wrote in a blog post a couple of weeks ago about the life expectancy associated with CF and the stats that go into creating life expectancy stats or median survival stats or whatever you want to call them, you know, they're finally starting to trend in a direction where there are people living longer. And for the first time in the history of the disease state, there are more people who are over the age of 18 than there are people younger than the age of 18. And that embodies the work that is being done to create, you know, a situation for people with CF to live long, healthy, meaningful lives.
Yeah, the quality of life, too, has been so drastically transformed.
You know, while that is true, I do think that there is a long way to go. You know, I look at myself and I still find myself coughing up green mucus every single day. That's just, in my mind, that's unacceptable. You know, the outlook for people who are young with CF is really pretty good compared to when we were younger.
Yeah.
But the outlook for people like us, you know, is still a work in progress. It may no longer be a childhood disease, but there definitely are struggles for people our age and older than us. Because, I mean, if you look at it, we've been fighting the disease for 25 years, almost 26 years, and that's it weighs heavily on a person.
Right. It's progressive illness. I mean, that is the key word, I think, there that still affects us, you know, as you were saying, just like now that we get older, different issues. And then, you know, we are hoping that one day that there, and there are already geriatric CF doctors, but like getting there is the important part. And I think that is why it's so important to think of CF organizations in this time. Season of giving.
You bring up the thought of different things that happen to people when they get older with CF, and the one thing that just pops out in my head constantly after I read an article from the NACFC conference a month or two ago, and it's talking about colonoscopies and how people with CF have to get them earlier in life compared to those who don't have CF and they have to get them later in life. And that blows. Like, that is not something on my radar that I am looking forward to later in life. But in a weird, peculiar way, it is somewhat reassuring to know that there are people looking out for my future, and they are concerned with the colonoscopy that I will one day be getting when I am 40 years old. So 15 years from now.
You say that with such disdain.
When we're still doing this podcast, I will be reporting on how my colonoscopy went, and I'm sure everyone will be...
Can't wait. On the edge of my seat waiting.
Yes.
12 years, how can I stand it?
Riveting information for and content for the podcast. I say that, it's not coming out of my nose. It's cold and flu season, so I'm like constantly have a runny nose. So that's one positive of the trend of people with cystic fibrosis getting older. But another thing is we have to keep it going. So that's where you people in podcast watching world and those listening to us on iTunes, that's where you guys come in, and people with cystic fibrosis are really only going to continue to get better, and they're going to continue to live full, thriving, successful lives. But it starts with the season of giving and understanding why the season of giving is so important.
Yeah. I actually was just talking about this with my brother as far as like, you know, give because not because it makes you feel good. That's just something that is an added bonus when you give, but it's because there is an opportunity to change someone else's life in some way. So, and I think that's important as, you know, as a community. So,
exactly. But for those of you who want some extra motivation to give, there's also tax deductions and things of that nature to also think about. I'm not saying that's why I personally like to give. I know there are people out there that do consider those reasons. And those reasons are fully within the law of the land.
Totally.
Exactly. So it's definitely there's more than one reason to do it. Let's put it that way. There's more than one reason. Yes. To support worthy causes, and really, in a lot of ways, you can sort of decide where you want your money to go. You know, whether you're donating to, a breast cancer awareness organization, or you're donating to the Boomer Esiason Foundation, for example. You know, we have lots of programs. You know, tell us where you want your money to go, and that's what program makes sense, you know, in your life, or what program do you think really impacts the lives of people with cystic fibrosis? Because that's for the Boomer Esiason Foundation, for example, you know, we pride ourselves on really giving back to patients. You know, we find that there are a lot of organizations out there that are helping fight cystic fibrosis, but in a lot of ways, the patients are overlooked. Right. And it's important not to overlook patients, because there are major financial burdens on people with cystic fibrosis, families with cystic fibrosis. And it's important to make sure that everyone can effectively fight CF, and they can live effective, fulfilling lives, successful lives at that. And that there's more than one way to fight CF in the realm of giving.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are so many options for people to find different aspects of CF care and research and for CF patients. You can find what you're passionate about, and that's where you can put your donation.
Yeah, I realistically, there are more than one way to help. And there's also, I can't stress this enough, there's more than one cause to help. This isn't an infomercial to donate and support the Boomer Esiason Foundation. As much as I would love that, there's more than one person out there in need of aid. And that, you know, that unfortunately, life bounces in many directions, and people get bad bounces all the time, whether or not it's with cystic fibrosis or it's with anything else. You know, there's lots of worthy causes. And I think in a lot of ways, it's really embodied by what the NFL did last week with their cause cleats. And that program they did.
Yeah, I loved that. I not only loved seeing the multiple cystic fibrosis cleats, which were awesome and surprising to me, just that any of the players would choose that as their cause, so awesome. But I was just thinking how great it is to give the players an opportunity to use their platform in such a powerful way.
Yeah, you know, I think the NFL has been getting a lot of there's being a lot of negative feedback for not allowing players to express themselves in positive and constructive ways. And this cause cleat week, or whatever they call it, was a really awesome idea. For those of you who don't know what that is, basically last week, players were allowed to break the uniform code to wear cleats that were painted to support causes, any number of causes that the players felt special about or felt close to, in an effort to really shine light and to exploit the NFL's popularity in a positive way. We know a lot about that, because my dad's been doing that ever since I was diagnosed. The idea was to use the NFL's amazing platform to raise money for cystic fibrosis and bring more of a positive name to to CF than one that had existed. So to see something as positive and effective as the cause cleat thing was last week, it's definitely something that I've been familiar with in my life ever since my dad played the NFL.
Yep. Yeah, it's a great way to even bring up conversations about causes that aren't necessarily in the forefront of people's minds. And CF is clearly one of them.
Yeah, so I mean, transitioning to the Making It Matter segment, we're going to do something a little different this week. The Making It Matter this week is instead of someone being with cystic fibrosis, it was some people that are calling attention to CF. Mm-hmm. And just to name a few, there were a bunch of NFL players last week that did wear cleats supporting cystic fibrosis awareness. And those players are Jarvis Landry, plays for the Dolphins, Charles Johnson of the Vikings, Marshall Newhouse of the Giants, and Shaq Lawson I think he plays for the Bills. I hope I didn't get that one wrong. But those four guys in particular all wore cystic fibrosis awareness cleats. And that's really awesome, especially Jarvis Landry, whose reason for doing it was really, really awesome. Jarvis wore his CF cleats in honor of Maya Zimmer, an ex-girlfriend of his who passed away from CF. So obviously, cystic fibrosis was very near and dear to his heart, and he felt the best way to express himself on Cause Cleats Day was by honoring someone very close in whose life who unfortunately passed on.
Yeah, obviously a beautiful tribute to Maya, and just a great way for all of the guys that wore cleats for CF to bring and shed a light on CF. So thanks, guys, and thanks for making it matter with your My Cause, My Cleats.
Yeah, no, beyond that, the cleats look really cool.
I want them.
Yeah, but cleats, like, not even just the CF cleats, but like the cleats around the league were
awesome. They were works of art.
Yeah, I actually saw something on TV where they interviewed one of the artists who painted the cleats, and like the process that all went through. I was like, first of all, I'm like the least creative person in the entire world. We're talking about, like, I think I got a C in high school art. Okay, so where, you know, that's where this is coming from. So for me to say something is really artistic and creative and awesome is, it's a pretty big deal, because you can bring me to like some crazy art museum in New York City, and I will not appreciate a damn thing that I see. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you ever see those famous paintings where it almost looks like someone finger painted it?
Yes.
I'm like, how is that art? Like, I could do that in when I'm 5 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you can really appreciate the My Cause, My Cleats.
Yes, exactly. I can appreciate the artwork that's on a football cleat.
Football.
I can't appreciate the art that's hanging in the Museum of Modern Art in New York City, where it's like someone's hanging spoons from like copper wires, and like the spoons act as a wind chime or something. You know, like, that's not art. That's just like someone saw a wind chime and was like, you know what, I can make a more cost-effective version of that by adding spoons instead of something that chimes the wind, and then they call it art. But real art is the cleat that's the cleats that are painted by artists,
according to Gunnar Esiason.
Yeah. Now,
no, they are beautiful works of art, and
exactly,
they are priceless for sure.
I think I could put a price on them.
For a worthy cause.
Yeah. No. I think the fact that
they're representing a worthy cause, I think, is why they're priceless.
But
they actually should all auction them off.
I wouldn't be surprised if they are.
I wouldn't
be surprised that they are. You know, that's why I'm saying I could put a price on it. You know, I think it's a priceless idea. The idea is priceless, but the idea of the tangible object with the artwork on it, I could probably appraise the value of that and be like, I could sell that for however much money I could sell it for.
And donate it all back to CF.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not appraising it for personal gain. I'm appraising it for nonprofit organizations.
Yeah.
And for those of you out there who want me to appraise these things, I'll do it for free. It would be like a fun little project for me.
He's available. Exactly. I will wait for them to auction them off. They have to.
I hope they do, because I also wonder how many they, like, if they're one-off sort of deals, you know, or if they made a few to sort of sell, like, if there's like a game worn, because, you know, when players wear, like, say for example, players play in like a special game or whatever, a lot of the times players will wear more than one jersey so that they can sell those jerseys to jersey collectors, for example.
Right.
So I wonder if they made more than one pair of those cleats for the organizations to auction off or to use as a fundraising device. That'd be interesting to know. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. If you do, someone out there does have the answer to that, let us know, and we'll somehow feature that answer. We'll figure out a way. Where there's a will, there's a way, right?
You can write a My Cause, My Cleats blog.
I could. That is a way to do that. We're just the creative juices are flowing.
The creative juices
are flowing right now. Is there anything else that I could critique? Like, you ever see like those crazy modern art exhibits where like you see those pictures of people standing against a blank white wall, and there's like a dirty boot at the bottom of the wall,
mm-hmm.
and like that's art somehow. That's not art.
Yeah.
Maybe that's expression, but that's not art.
Well, sometimes people think art and expression are interchangeable.
So if I blow my nose and stick it on a wall with a thumbtack, and call that art? Is that acceptable?
Perhaps an audience might find it acceptable. I mean, Blink-182's songs are art, are they not?
Yeah, but it's also entertainment value.
Someone could find that Dirty Boot highly entertaining.
I guess I can't argue with that. This has been Art with Gunnar and Julia. Sorry for this anecdote for everyone out there listening. But back to some more serious stuff. The My Cause, My Cleese things are really cool. I will definitely put pictures of them on my blog page and the podcast notes, so you can take a look. Definitely take a look at the rest of the My Cause, My Cleats stuff around the NFL, especially from last week. They were really cool, and players didn't get fined, which is awesome, because the NFL, for some reason, loves to do that to players who express themselves in a non-constructive way, I guess. So, what we're trying to say here, the bottom line is, awareness is just as important as monetary donations or monetary gain. You know, I think for nonprofits at least, and I think that awareness of disease states and issues that people are having are definitely things that need to be talked about and are worthy in the time of in this holiday time and everyone's favorite time of year. And it's important to move that forward.
Yeah, I think that's why we do what we do with this podcast, and but we can only do it if we're sustained by research and progress. So make those end of year donations.
Yes, exactly. Even if you want them to be tax deductible. But that's all the time we have for today. So thanks for tuning in to the 17th episode of Making It Matter. Remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarSizen.com or JuliaRay.com. And now you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. So please go ahead and do that. Give us a good review. It definitely helps the popularity of the podcast on iTunes, and it, if anything, it'll help drive more awareness. So definitely do that, keeping with the theme of today's podcast. And if you want to see us podcast about something specific, you can always send us an email at gunnersblog@assassin.org or Julia's email, which is
JuliaRay@JuliaRay.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram, too. I can't believe I forgot that one. It's Julia's favorite little side project.
Yeah,
and then you
at Making It Matter _CF. Hey, I got to give it a shout-out.
Yes, it really does need a shout-out. And then you can always message us on Facebook through our like pages or whatever those are called, where you go and you like something or somebody you can like.
Don't deny it. It's a fan page. Just kidding.
You can like Gunnar Sizen, or you can like Julia Ray. It's mm-hmm. It's kind of like I said like 100 times right there. It's kind of like when you're in fifth grade and you like somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So by you liking my page, you're telling me that you like me.
Oh, Gunnar.
These are things that go through my mind. But definitely do that. We love talking to people.
Yeah.
We also love answering questions. And we love featuring questions on our podcast, because it gives us something to talk about, and it also gives us something worthy to talk about, because we know that's something people want to hear. So definitely please do that. This is Gunnar Sizen for Julia Ray signing off.
Bye, everyone.